Let's pray. Father God, may the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you. Amen.
Amen.
So it's finally tomorrow, that Christmas day. I wonder what Christmas will bring you, or what you're hoping that Christmas will bring you, at least. Favourite presents, favourite people coming round, all that sort of thing. Debt. On average, apparently, Brits anticipate spending £342 on Christmas presents this year. Don't go calculating in your heads whether you're above or below that. But with £303 of that going on credit cards, paying back the money they borrow for Christmas is expected to take some time. Many households unlikely to be able to clear their Christmas debts until the 23rd of April. Or bringing the family together. What will it be like in your Christmas home this year? I wonder if you recognise any of these particular characters. Jealous Jeff, Hateful Hattie, Lonely Lionel, and Gossipy Gertrude, with apologies if those names match anyone here this evening. Jealous Jeff, why not me? Your stuff is so much better than mine. Hateful Hattie, me first. You, I don't need you. Out of my way. Lonely Lionel, oh, it's only me. No one understands. Or Gossipy Gertrude, listen to me. You'll never guess this. Every family, every gathering will know some relational stress as they are brought unusually close together this Christmas. So what are you hoping for this Christmas? What will it bring you? Joy? Peace? To endure through this and get out the other side? And then you come to church and we have these readings and we hear the angels declare, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And then glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests. Are these words a picture of present reality for you, for me, for this world? Well, if you're thinking, oh, Dave, that's a bit bleak. This is Christmas Eve. Let's have the jolly stuff. We're about to get to the good stuff. You look down in your service sheets, you'll see we've got that reading, a little part of that reading we had from Luke, where the angels declare. But before that, we had Isaiah reading. And through Isaiah, God paints a wonderful picture of a peaceful paradise. And then 700 years later, the angels announce that someone has come to make that wonderful promise a reality. And the Christmas story, our Christmas story, is how we get from the present that we might have to endure to a future we all long for. So let's briefly have a look at that future we all long for. Down in that Isaiah reading, particularly verses 6 to 9, we have a wonderful vision of a future peaceful paradise. Peace is not just the absence of war, it's a wholesome, perfect life. We see, verse 6, the wolf welcomed as a guest by the lamb. Now, I've got little children, and we read these little nursery stories, which have little animals. Not often the wolf is a friend to the lamb. Or a goat and a leopard getting snugly together, and a little child safely in charge. Here are old enemies now sharing together, the reconciliation of old hostilities. Or reading a little further, we see a change of feeding habits. The cow feeds with a bear rather than the usual being food for the bear. A lion eats straw. And it's a change which continues on into the next generation. It's a permanent new state. A miraculous change of natures has happened. Or there in verse 8, we arrive at snakes. A helpless baby is safe from threat. A toddler who, as they do, runs into danger, emerges unscathed. And to complete this picture of peace, people are neither acting wrongly or spoiling good things. Everywhere God is present and known. And so this world, this new creation, conforms to good God's good purposes. Peace between animals and man and God. No more hostility or suffering or separation or death. And God provides early in that reading a spirit-filled leader who will bring wisdom and understanding, counsel and power, who will be able to perceive things correctly, make right decisions and carry them out. As he worships the Lord, he will have the wisdom of God in every situation. It looks wonderful. Because we were made for this. You, me, we were made to enjoy God, to enjoy his creation, and to enjoy each other perfectly. So what about love, life now? Well, breaker alert, wolves eat lambs. People fight the world around and each other. Selfish hostility is everywhere. So what is this present we all endure? Let's think back to those four characters. Jealous Jeff, why not me? This is someone who's not seeing the good that they have, but he's desiring something from someone else. Hateful Hattie, the me first, they want someone else gone. They want more of a place for herself in this life. Lonely Lionel, why only me? They're either struggling at friendship or they're surrounded by people who are not good at friendship. They lack compassionate sacrifice and commitment. Or Gossipy Gertrude, the listen to me person. They want to put others down or make themselves more important. They enjoy or benefit from sowing division. So we think on those characters, maybe well-known characters, we start to realize that the problem, the enemy spoiling our world and our lives, is not out there. The real enemy is in the human heart. There was a man called Alexander Solzhenitsyn. He experienced the awful horror of the Russian gulag, and he wrote this. If only it were so simple. If only there were evil people somewhere insidiously committing evil deeds, and it were necessary only to separate them from the rest of us and destroy them. But the line dividing good and evil cuts through the heart of every human being. And who is willing to destroy a piece of his own heart? If we're honest with ourselves, we will admit that we let ourselves down. I let myself down and I let others down. I hurt people by accident or sometimes on purpose. My heart is a mix of glorious aims and trashy temptations. And I can't fix myself, like I can't remove a part of my own heart. And so we start to see the difference between the present we all endure and the future we all long for is a problem in our hearts. And it's a frustration that we all face. But despite our rejection or ignoring of God, he still loves us. And he promises this spirit-filled Saviour, Christ the Lord. So we come to what the angel said. The good news of great joy is that the wonderful, peaceful paradise is about to become possible for people. A baby will be born in David's town, a descendant of David, Israel's greatest ever king. This baby will be a new great king, a Christ, God's king, who would be a savior, would save his people from their enemies and bring blessing. And as we've seen, the most dangerous enemy is that enemy of pride in our hearts, our going our own way, our ignoring God who made us, which the Bible calls sin. Well, this Saviour is sent to bring us back home to peace with each other and with our Maker, Father God. How will he do it? How will he deal with that problem of our hearts? Well, there's a sign in our Luke reading there. There's an unusually humble birth. An animal feeding trough. That's not the usual cot chosen for a royal prince. This king has come to be humble. In fact, to give his life for his people. Dying on the cross, he took on himself that pride and sin and dealt with it so that we can be freed from it. He came to take our place so that we could take his place. This Christmas, he offers that swap to us. We need to be humble enough to admit our need of a saviour, to stop trying to fix ourselves and others, and ask for help from our loving Creator. We need to confront and say sorry for our own failures and deliberate wrongs. And we need to make the life-changing decision to put our trust in Jesus as our Savior and follow him as our King. And at Jesus' death on the cross for sin, God shows that he takes the bad things seriously enough to punish by death. And he shows that he loves us so much that he's willing to take on himself in his Son that punishment. Glory to God in the highest. And this can mean for the Jeffs, the Hatties, the Lionels, the Gertrudes, we can know that we are made and loved by God, and that God will start to work in our hearts to free us from bad behavior patterns, to become more loving. As we trust in Jesus, we have the promise of eternal life and life to the full beginning now. Good news of great joy. Those who repent and trust can have their sins blotted out and experience times of joy and peace in the presence of the Lord. And as we wait with anticipation for the fulfillment of God's plans, when Christ comes again as judge to bring complete justice. Friends, the future we all long for is what we were made for by our loving Father God. The present we sometimes endure is a result of our actions and attitudes to God and each other, which come from our hearts. The good news of great joy that the angels announce is the sending of a Saviour, God's King, born to die for you, dying to bring you back home to unity with each other and peace with God. A rescue from the present we endure to the future we long for. We rejoice and give thanks. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests. The angelic hordes celebrate God's goodness and love for his creation, for you and for me. Let's take time out this Christmas to celebrate with them.